This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Jermaine B, and this is Careers Unusual, where we speak to people with jobs that are off the beaten path. This whole month, we'll be looking at a series of interesting science-related careers. And today, we have Professor Navid Khan, a cockroach scientist. Cockroaches have been long despised and disgusted by people due to their creepy appearances. Cockroach control and management are also known to be crucial for health and safety reasons as they carry various types of bacteria. However, cockroach scientist Professor Navid Khan has proven that cockroaches help discover new antibiotics and in fact can cure diseases other antibiotics may not. Let us hear everything about this unusual career through Professor Navid Khan, who's with us today. Hi, Professor Navid. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us, Jermaine.
Yeah. So, Professor Navid, share with us, what is so interesting about cockroaches that it became the subject of your research?
Okay. There are really two things about it. One, that it always fascinated me that any species that has been living on this planet for millions of years very successfully and thriving must have some ways to teach us that how we can adapt to changing environment, to problems which are a major threat to this planet. And secondly, the very fact that when we see these species living in the very unhygienic conditions, that how do they cope with that? You know, we often tell our children that go and wash your hands with antibacterial soap and make sure you wash your hand all the time and keep the bathroom clean and everything has to be, you know, nice and clean. So it occurred to me that what's teaching these species to live in these very same unhygienic condition and yet thrive in those conditions? And that has been the starting point for my research into cockroaches and I'm getting this infamous title of cockroach scientist.
Well, do you have any previous career prior to your dedicated research of women's greatest enemy?
Well, it's also a man's greatest enemy too, but right. Yeah, it's I've been trained in infectious diseases and it's always fascinated to me that how these pathogens are able to cause infections and cause so much human misery and health-related problems in animals because they're also very, very important to our existence. So food security is a very, very important issue. So how these pathogens, these species, they can cause disease, that has been the subject of my research for the past 20 years, and I'm still working along those lines.
So when did you start this research, and how long did it take for you to complete your research on cockroaches?
So it's about 7 years ago. What happened was that at the time I was working at the University of Nottingham and we used to get a lot of soldiers, case soldiers coming back from different countries and they were infected with these untreatable infections. So we used to give them antibiotics but then not able to treat them. And so that's where we started looking for these unique sources of antibiotics or antimicrobials. And that's where we came up with the hypothesis that because cockroaches and these kind of species live in polluted environments, in unhygienic condition, suggesting that where they do come across many of the same superbugs, be that MRSA or Zika virus or avian influenza or Pseudomonas and so many other superbugs, that they must have a mechanism to defend themselves. And we posed this hypothesis and we requested for funding from the Ministry of Defense. And we were very fortunate to get the funding and we started doing this research. Then I took this research to finding out these molecules. And now we know the kind of molecules which are able to defend these cockroaches against those superbugs that they come across in those unhygienic conditions. And now at Sunway University, we are trying to determine the precise molecular structure at the atomic level because that's very, very important. Because What we are advocating is that, you know, that we can't obviously have cockroach farms where we collect enough biomass to treat patients. So we need to be able to synthesize these molecules in the lab. To synthesize these molecules, we need to identify these molecules at the atomic level. Mm-hmm. Now that we have some idea about the molecular identity, we need to find out their atomic structure so that we can synthesize and then bring them to the market. So far we have spent about 7 years from the very idea and until the basic identification of these molecules. We have about 10 different interesting new antibiotic molecules that we feel that can become potential candidate for the antibiotics. And this work must continue. So it's not the end of the project by any means, because eventually what will happen is that the microbes may also develop resistance, similarly as they have developed resistance against penicillin and many of the available antibiotics. So research must continue in other species and continue within the cockroaches, because they're also evolving, to find out continuously new molecules which are present in many of these species. So, yes.
Okay. So what type of cockroach species do you collect, and who collects them for you, Professor?
Important point. So the species that we're working on is Americana. It's just basically one of the cockroaches that we see in our home, in our restrooms, and in our apartments, and so on. For research, we cannot simply buy cockroaches from the market. We have to rear them in the lab so that their genetics remain the same, and then we can understand that they're not, you know, coming up with new diseases and so on. So we rear them in our university at the Sunway University, and then we use their biomass, we collect them. It is very hard to actually recruit researchers to handle cockroaches for some reason.
Reasons, Professor.
Hates cockroaches, but I think they're a wonderful species. There's so much that we can learn from them. And once you get to know them, you will realize they're actually more afraid of you than you are. They will always run away from you. So, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. So that has been one of the challenges. And now we are, once we collect enough biomass, then we use the analytical tools that we have at Sunway University to identify their molecular structure and so on.
Right. So when you say you need to collect a whole bunch of cockroaches for your research, how many do you need?
Yeah. Normally we have, for each phase, we use about 5,000 cockroaches.
5,000?
and that's quite a fair number. But it's important that any hypothesis is a good hypothesis. It makes sense. So, and their brains are fairly small, because that's where we seem to be finding some of these antibiotic molecules, in the brain, not in many of the other tissues, fat bodies, muscles, hemolymph, which is like blood of cockroach and so on and so forth. It's the brain, and brains are pretty small, and it's quite tricky to actually dissect out the brain of a cockroach, because you want to make sure that it remains intact when right. you are isolating it. So it's a quite a laborious process on a day-to-day basis. On an average day, you can dissect about 50 cockroaches. So you can imagine the kind of commitment that's needed to dissect out 5,000 cockroaches to get sufficient biomass to carry out that analytical work. But that's for the first phase. Once we do know this atomic level structure, then we will be able to synthesize. That's what I meant, that we should not rely on cockroach farms, but we should actually go back to the analytical tools and in our chemistry labs to synthesize them.
Wow, that's very interesting, Professor Naveed. So, but Professor, as cockroaches are filled with germs and bacteria, are there any extra safety precautions that you must take to ensure that nothing is contaminated when you're handling them?
Yeah, very important point. So naturally, they may carry some of the pathogen, but these are the cockroaches which we may see in gutters or in our, you know, in toilets and so on. And this is precisely the reason that we rear them in the labs. So we keep them in our lab conditions, very clean conditions. We feed them cookies. So it's not that they're eating gunk in any way. So it's the genetic makeup that's producing those kind of molecules that we want to then isolate and use them as antimicrobial molecule. So those cockroaches that we have in the lab, they are actually relatively clean cockroaches. They're not the one coming from the wild, and because we are rearing them in our own labs. So it's unlikely they do carry any major pathogen. But even then, we do have wonderful, very good facilities to handle these kind of pathogens that are carried by cockroaches. Generally, they're category 2 pathogens, and we have good facilities to counter any potential risk to the researchers and to ourselves.
So, Professor, when you mention you need to dissect the brain, you have to make sure the cockroaches stay alive while you do that, or...?
It has to be, yes, that's very important because the pathological events will start straight away as soon as the insect will die. Interesting thing about cockroaches is that they can survive all kinds of harsh conditions. So, you know, you can cut their head off and they can still keep running around for a good hour or so without being killed. And same thing, you know, they can survive. You can put them in water and they can remain alive for a good hour or so. Yeah. And you can give them radiation. And what the level of radiation that can kill a human being, they can survive up to 9 times more radiation.
Whoa.
Very important finding, which is suggesting, which is a separate research that we're doing, that they must have some interesting anti-cancer molecules as well. That why don't they get those kind of problems that we are faced with? So generally when you cut their heads, so again, but you have to be fairly quick to dissect out their brain to ensure that it remains intact so that you can use them, and then we store them at minus 80 until we are ready to do the molecular isolation.
Interesting. Professor, are you in collaboration with other scientists, or are you in a specific field yourself?
Naturally, now in science, we have to collaborate with other researchers. This kind of research is not really a one-man show. And so we work with entomologists, we work with insect physiologists, because they are the one who generally have more expertise in isolating dissection and so on without. And then we also work with our chemistry colleagues at the university, at Tsinghua University. So because we do need to understand the atomic level structure of this, and then we do need to synthesize those molecules, and then we need to do the biological assays where we put their brains of cockroaches or blood of cockroaches onto the superbugs like MRSA and Clostridium and many of the other pathogens to see whether they're being killed or not killed. And we also test them on our human cells to see whether these molecules have any damage or any toxic effects on human cells, because these kind of studies needs to be done before we then say that these molecules are useful without causing any damage to human cells. Okay. And then we have done all this work in our labs. So yes, we have to collaborate with colleagues from different disciplines to enable us to take this research forward.
Would there be any side effects of using antimicrobials from cockroaches to humans, really?
Yeah, very important point. I think these safety tests needs to be done. We have done the initial studies where we take these molecules one by one and then we put them on human cells, human brain cells, human other types of cells, and we have demonstrated that they are not toxic to human cells. But these studies were done in the lab, and these studies need, there has to be clinical trials to ensure that these molecules are actually safe enough to be given to humans in when they are infected with these untreatable infections, especially if the infections are invasive in nature. So for topical infection, it may not be a huge challenge to apply these molecules because as a topical application, but for invasive pathogens, it's important to do those clinical trials to ensure the safety of these molecules.
Okay. So, Professor, share with us on your interesting experience or encounters as a cockroach scientist, probably while dissecting.
One of the key things that we've been trying to do was that recruiting researchers, that has been the major that's been it's always interesting to see new researchers to get them used to working with cockroaches. It can take a while, and to see them actually remain alive for even you cut their head out and still they keep running around and for so long, that's very interesting. However, our research is not only limited to cockroaches. We are looking at other species also, which are sharing these polluted environments and learning from them as well. If I may, I'll share another story which may interest some of the listeners. That we went to the zoo once with my kids, and the smell in the environment was just very rotten. And I asked one of the person working there, what is this smell? And the person said that, sir, this is crocodile feeding time. And that puzzled me, that in crocodile feeding time, why the smell is so bad in the air. And so I just went with kids to see this people feeding crocodile. And I could see that the meat which was given to crocodile was just totally rotten. You know, you can see this yellowy, gooey kind of meat given to crocodile. And crocodiles were just jumping up and down like 6 feet in the air to grab a piece of this rotten meat. And I asked them that, well, why don't you give clean meat to these crocodiles? And the person who was feeding them, they said, well, actually, they prefer rotten meat. Even if you give them clean meat, they will take it down and then make it rot first before they will feed on it. And that's very, very interesting, because at home, what we are doing is
the complete opposite.
And we are, cooking this meat to death. And my mother is putting all kinds of spices in this meat to make a, chicken curry and whatnot to ensure that we get rid of any of these bugs. Mm-hmm. And the same question applies, that how come these species, and interestingly, crocodiles, they can live up to more than 100 years.
Right.
So it's not like they have a short lifespan. They have a very long lifespan, and yet they're able to survive those conditions, suggesting that they must have some very interesting molecule. So that's another area of research that we're working on. And they are always bathed in the sun without any sun creams or anything, suggesting that, again, they may also have some anti-cancer molecules as well that we should be extracting. So in our lab, what we're doing is that we are not only just focusing on cockroaches, but also on working on other species like crocodiles to finding solutions to some of the microbial pathogens that we're facing at present, with the viewpoint that eventually we will need to be able to coexist with these pathogens. We need to learn a way to remain a dominant species on this planet. And for that, we must learn how other species are surviving and use that knowledge in our benefit. And so that's the kind of research that we're doing, which I feel is very important and impactful for our society.
Very, very interesting, Professor. So lastly, what would be your advice for someone who'd like to explore this career as a cockroach scientist?
Opportunities are endless. I believe that anybody who wants to work in do research in areas which can impact our society on problems which are emerging and will remain significant problems, not only just for Malaysia, but to the whole of the world. This is a fascinating area of research, and not only limited to cockroaches, but also other species. In our lab, we are working on cockroaches, we're working on water monitors, we're working on snakes. They eat rodents. Again, rodents are full of germs, and we're also working on crocodile. So I think that the opportunities are tremendous. And as I pointed out earlier, that, even today, last year, 2015 even, there are more than 17 million people died due to just top 10 infectious diseases. Forget about all the infectious diseases, just the top 10, which have been kind of reported. So suggesting it is a huge problem. So despite the fact of human genome completion and the genome completion of many of the pathogens and so on, still more than millions of people, more than 15 million people are dying. And some of them are just treatable. And it's just that we need to find new answer to these emerging problems. And then we see the emergence of all these new pathogens, be that NDM1 strain, be that Zika virus, be that avian influenza and so on and so forth, or dengue and so on. So opportunities are enormous, but on the other hand, the solution lies within, and that's has been the objective of our research group that at the Sunway University, that we need not look at somebody else to do this work, but a solution must be here as well. We are in the tropics. There are very interesting species, interesting animals that we can learn from. Much of the research in the past has been focused on plants because they're easier source of biomass, but animals can actually also have interesting molecules that we can take to our advantage. So opportunities in this area are endless, and I believe that if those who are interested in these kind of problems, that will remain significant issues for the for our society and for the human race.
Thank you for sharing, Professor Naveed. So that was Professor Naveed Khan, a cockroach scientist, and you've been listening to Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.